If I could get those of you who are standing to take your seats. Okay, at this time, I'm going to call the June 13th meeting of Programs and Allocation Committee to order. First item is roll call.
Good morning. Yes, we have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Next item is our consent calendar. Is there any? And there's a motion and a second for the consent calendar. Is there any member wishing to pull an item? Okay, all those in favor of the consent calendar, use your signs of voting of aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Carries. Next item is our regional programs, and this is a proposed allocation of approximately $83 million in AB 1171 capital funds and rescission of approximately $13.5 million AB 1171 funds and $1.4 million in regional Measure 2 funds. This is MTC Resolution 3914. Revised and 3684 revised. Sherry.
Good morning, Commissioners. Shruti Hari from the Programming and Allocation section. And I have for your consideration today allocations totaling approximately $83 million in AB 1171 capital funds and rescissions totaling $13.5 million in AB 1171 and $1.4 million in RM2 capital funds, respectively. Starting with the bridge toll allocation this month to the eBART project, we have BART requesting an allocation of $9.4 million in AB 1171 funds towards the completion of final design and construction management and design service during construction for the maintenance shop shell, Hillcrest parking lot, and realignment construction at the Slayton Ranch Road. Along with this allocation, we are also requesting rescissions totaling approximately $13.5 million in AB 1171 and $1.4 million in RM2 funds. And these rescinded funds are in savings from prior allocations. And these funds will be available for the project until the project close out. I'd like to note here that we are recommending that this allocation be conditioned on the execution of a funding agreement between MTC and BART. And moving on to the next allocation this month, to the Transbay Terminal Project, we have the Transbay Joint Powers Authority requesting an allocation of $73.7 million in AB 1171 funds. And this is to certify upcoming construction contracts, mainly the below-grade structure contract, finalize the Transbay Transit Center design, and fund the remaining CMGC services on this project. Included in your packet is a breakdown of the amount of the $73.7 million for each scope element of this allocation. Now, I'd like to note here that in order for TJPA to award the below-grade structure contract, which makes up the major chunk of this allocation, all the funds need to be available to TJPA and allocated at the time of this award. However, the expenditure, obviously, of these funds will occur over several years. Now, this below-grade structure contract was advertised in mid-May and is scheduled to be awarded in August of this year. And I'd like to note here that staff is also recommending to condition this allocation on the approval of the IPR package by the TJPA board, and which this is expected to occur on June 14th. With that, staff recommends that the committee refer resolution numbers 3914 revised and 3684 revised to the commission for approval. And I'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Any questions on the part of commissioners? Seeing none, is there, I entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
There's a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We'll now move to the next item, which is funding recommendation for low-income transit pass pilot program. This is MTC Resolution 3925 revised. Alex Bachelman.
Good morning, Commissioners. Alex Bachelman, Director of Programming and Allocations. Last month, staff presented an information item related to two requests for funding for low-income pilot pass programs, one from the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency and one from the Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority. The requests totaled $9.6 million. As a reminder, the San Francisco proposal would provide free passes for low-income youth for a 22-month period. The Santa Clara proposal was focused on providing free transit passes for individuals on general assistance and for a subset of low-income youth in the county for a 2-year period. Today, staff is recommending supporting both pilot programs, but at a lower funding level, consistent with the $5 million total funding envelope identified at the regional level. The recommendation is tailored to pilot and evaluate two distinct pass concepts. In San Francisco, staff is recommending $4 million in regional funds to support a low-income youth pilot program. In Santa Clara, staff is recommending $1 million to support a pilot program that would focus on the general assistance population of the county. The recommended funding split between San Francisco and Santa Clara is based on the relative anticipated ridership numbers of the two programs, roughly 40,000 for San Francisco's low-income youth program and about 5,000 for VTA's general assistance program, plus some additional support for VTA to administer the program on Clipper.
Okay.
The proposal for San Francisco for SFMTA is also conditioned on San Francisco dedicating an additional $1 million from either their unprogrammed lifeline funds or other local funds toward the pilot program in order to maintain the scope of the program. As noted in the item before you and as part of the next item you'll hear on Lifeline, San Francisco currently has $3.7 million in unprogrammed Lifeline funds that are pending the outcome of the pilot pass discussions. The proposal for VTA in Santa Clara is conditioned on the pilot program being administered via the Clipper card. At last month's meeting, staff had posed a set of questions to the sponsors, and the written responses are included in your packet. Just generally, the sponsors did indicate that the programs could proceed in the short term with the funding level that they were requesting. They also set forth a set of metrics that they would use to define the success of the program. And they also both noted in response that there is no long-term funding currently identified for these programs. In terms of the recommendation and the timing, the transit agencies have indicated that subject to funding and being able to move forward, both pilot programs would begin this summer or fall. MTC staff will continue to work closely with the two agencies on implementation and program evaluation. Also, as a reminder, in conjunction with the Lifeline Transportation Program, MTC staff is conducting a study of means-based fare programs, the needs in the region, as well as options. Work is expected to continue over the next 6 months to year on this to evaluate existing policies, define low-income transit market segments, look at cost and funding options, and also program delivery options. This study will be developed with stakeholder input and also would complement the analytical aspects of the pilot program should the commission move forward on those. There are two issues that I would highlight for you today. One, because MTC staff is recommending less funding than requested by the sponsors, SFMTA and VTA will have to confirm their ability and willingness to move forward with the pilot under the proposed framework. And two, as I mentioned previously, there is currently no long-term funding strategy to maintain the pilots if they are deemed successful. I would note that you do have a handout before you today in Goldenrod, a letter from Mayor Lee related to the San Francisco program. And with that, staff recommends that the committee refer Resolution 3925 revised to the commission for approval. The resolution funds the two pilot programs as I just described. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Alex. I want to turn the mic to Sam. Sam, you had some comments that you would like to make.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to offer some modifications, at least in terms of VTA's understanding of what this pilot would look like for the commission's consideration. Obviously, we'll be coming back for the full commission's vote in a couple of weeks, but I know we'll be continuing to talk with staff. We had actually started this process in fall of last year when community members came to us talking to us about how we could possibly expand transit access to low-income populations in our community. We enlisted a consultant. That consultant's work is still underway, and for that reason, we are learning as we're going. But here's what we do know. What we're going to be bringing back is going to be focused on low-income residents. We are not going to have a youth-focused or an age-specific proposal. Our proposal will be focused on reduced fares and not free fares. And specifically, we're testing one very, very important question I think that every transit agency in this region is going to be concerned with, which is there a way to increase transit access for the poor members of our community without reducing aggregate fare box revenues? And we believe it's possible there may be a subpopulation out there for which we can reduce the cost of the fare. And because we will be increasing ridership substantially, we can either do it at a very similar level of aggregate revenue or the same level of aggregate revenue. And the only way we'll know is by testing it and finding out for sure. And we have to understand what the demand curve looks like, what the elasticity of demand is for transit among that group. We are not looking for a long-term solution that requires this MTC body to continue to fund to backfill for a loss in revenue. We're hoping that we will have a project that other counties can then replicate to expand transit ridership without an aggregate loss in revenue, because I think we all know, we hear it loud and clear from federal authorities and regional authorities, that we do not want to be ultimately reducing aggregate revenues to our transit agencies, which are all struggling mightily to maintain the current level of services. And so I think it's just important for us to understand we do have two different pilots here, and I think we'll learn plenty from both, and I look forward to continuing this conversation, obviously, at the full commission.
Thank you. Any other commissioners' comments before we go to public comments? Dave.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much to my colleagues on the committee and the commission for their entertaining this important item. I also want to thank staff for their very thoughtful work on these two proposals. And while we in San Francisco had hoped to get the entirety of the funding that was requested, we understand the recommendation, and I certainly respect what has been presented to us, and I would ask this committee to approve the recommendation and move it to the full commission. I just want to note a couple of things without belaboring the points that were made at the last presentation. I do want to thank Mayor Lee for his support of this pilot. As he indicated in his letter, there is a commitment on the part of the elected family in San Francisco to make this pilot work. And while indeed we have not identified a permanent source of funding, the reason why this is created as a pilot is so that we have the time to find that permanent source of funding. We are very mindful of the fact that there are limited resources and that the support from the region will be for the pilot and the pilot alone. I also want to make a very strong recognition of the various agencies that have worked on this project. We have been working on this for more than a year, and you have four different agencies in San Francisco that have vetted this project in that time and have actually made a commitment to this project, beginning with the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, where a majority of the Board of Supervisors supported this concept. The San Francisco Board of Education has also vetted and voted on this, as well as the County Transportation Authority, which has also allocated funding for this. And more importantly, the Board of Directors of the Metropolitan Transportation Agency, which unanimously supported this pilot. I want to acknowledge the presence of our Director of Transportation, Ed Riskin. I want to thank Mr. Riskin and his staff for the work that they did to make this happen. As you can see from the information that San Francisco has presented, we believe that this is an issue that not only impacts San Francisco, but really impacts the entire region. And we have tried to craft this proposal in a way that is that maximizes the usefulness to the region. And we believe that it's important to have a strong evaluation component to this pilot. It's important for us to make sure that we maximize the use of Clipper and that we utilize Clipper to get as much information about the various questions that have been raised in terms of ridership. I also want to thank in my staff, Sheila Chung-Hagan, who's here, who has been working on this for more than a year. And again, I look forward to a discussion and hope that I can have your support. I think that there's a lot to be learned from this pilot. And lastly, I simply want to acknowledge the youth and families that are here. We had in the last year thousands of families and youth. This really has been a grassroots process, and you had so many of these individuals who have come to City Hall for the last year, who have organized at dozens of schools throughout the city. And I think for me personally, it's really gratifying to see so many youth, so many young people talk about the importance of public transportation for them. I think it's great to see that's how this young generation sees public transit. It really is about creating the future ridership for all of these systems, and I'm very proud of that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comments? Commissioner Scott.
Hi, Scott Wiener, San Francisco. I also want to thank staff for its hard work. I know this has been a long process with some twists and turns over time, so I do appreciate the work the staff has put in. I also want to acknowledge Mr. Riskin, who he and his staff have also put in an enormous amount of effort around this, and so I'm very appreciative of that. I've been, over time, quite public in my views about this and in my serious concerns about the program. I voted against it at the Board of Supervisors. I voted against it at our County Transportation Authority, and I authored an op-ed in the Chronicle. My concerns, of course, having to do with the long-term sustainability of our transportation system and what this will mean for Muni, particularly at the end of the two-year pilot program when there will no longer be MTC money and Muni will be responsible for continuing it when it has a $120 million structural deficit just to do what it needs to do to run a system for everyone, because, of course, you can give people free fares, but if the buses are broken down and they're not coming to pick them up, that free fare doesn't get you very far. But we are here today at the MTC. I'm looking forward to the discussion, not just today, but more particularly at the full commission when we have all commissioners here. I know this is part of a broader conversation about fare structures in the region. I really appreciate Commissioner Liccardo's remarks because there is dysfunctionality in our fare system in the Bay Area, and the fact that in San Francisco, for example, if you're 65 years old making $500,000 a year, you get a $21 fast pass. If you're 50 years old making $18,000 a year, you pay $31 for a fast pass. And so this does need to be a broader conversation, and I know that the MTA is committed to doing that. In terms of the staff recommendation, and obviously this came out recently, I do have a serious concern about, I understand the $1 million reduction, and that is what it is, from the $5 million to the $4 million, but the staff recommendation is to require San Francisco to make up that $1 million difference. And I've been hearing that will come from money, lifeline money, I think through the Transportation Authority that may have been previously programmed for bike and pedestrian safety improvements. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong about that. But regardless, it's coming from transit money in San Francisco. I have a real problem with putting more San Francisco transit money beyond what's already been committed by the TA and by the MTA. And so I'm proposing an amendment. I'll distribute it now, and we can discuss it and act on it or not act on it after public comment. So I'll just distribute it in writing, and I'll just read it. The amendment would add as follows. The MTC's $4 million funding commitment to the SFMTA's Youth and Low-Income Transit Pass Pilot Program shall be conditioned on the SFMTA not spending more SFMTA funds or other public funds on the pilot program than the amount that the SFMTA and the SFCTA previously voted to allocate to the pilot program. In other words, reversing the condition, instead of requiring that more local money, transit money, be spent on this, prohibiting it and keeping the funding level as it is. So that's the amendment. I just wanted to put it out there before we go to public comment so people can give it some thought and be ready for discussion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, that is something we'll take up when we bring this back to the body after public comments. Commissioner Haggerty.
Mr. Chair, if you would prefer that I wait, I can. I wanted to respond to this because my fundamental question would be, then where does the money come from?
Okay. Yes, if we could have that discussion after public comment, I think it would be more prudent. Okay, let me just say that by the turnout today, we understand the advocacy of support for this particular project, and I'm going to ask that the speakers be brief. We're going to limit you to 2 minutes because we do have a number of speakers here today, and I will try to keep you all in groups in which you came. So the first speakers will be coming from People Acting in Community Together. That would be Dana and Sandra, if you would come forth. And please give your full names because I may not be calling those names out as I do not want to butcher them.
I'm Reverend Dana Bainbridge, pastor of First Christian Church in downtown San Jose. Our congregation is one of 30 congregations representing over 50,000 people who are active in People Acting in Community Together, PACT. My journey to this place today began when I started listening to the stories of low-income people who show up at the door of our church regularly asking for bus passes. I talked to colleagues who also suggested that this is the single most common request for help at their door, a bus pass. Most of our congregations are working hard to pay their own bills and can't pay everyone else's. But we couldn't continue to replay the heartbreaking moment over and over again when we said, no, we can't help you. We have grown wiser over the years and know that some of our problems are systemic and we need bigger solutions than charity. Our PACT local organizing committee, made up of 3 downtown congregations, began working to address the situation. And for over 2 years now, we have been bringing our community together to research and discuss this issue. We can and will be persistent. In December 2010, we hosted a World Cafe type of event where 60 people, including VTA officials, community officials, service providers, homeless and low-income residents, sat around tables and listened to each other talk about the transportation problems that affect real lives. In 2011, September, we brought some key people in our community together. 2 commissioners here today, Commissioner Liccardo and Cortese, were at that event in September of 2011, and we asked them to address the need for a discount transit pass based on income. As a result of that event, our officials have been busy looking for solutions. In the past few months, VTA staff and consultants have engaged in extensive analysis of the issue, and we'll be discussing recommendations that arise from that analysis very soon. One of the things we asked for was a pilot program. So we ask that today you give legs to our conversation and fund that pilot program, which is part of a larger analysis. Thank you.
My name is Sandra Haitala, and I'm also a member of PACT, People Acting in Community Together, and I'm here today to support the proposed allocation of funding to VTA to fund a pilot program for the most vulnerable and needy in our county, those that are receiving general assistance. Monica Kessling, someone who would have benefited from this program, was not here today as she's working, but I wanted to read from the testimony she made at a recent hearing that we had around this issue. These are her words. Due to unfortunate circumstances, I found myself homeless in 2006. A church shelter took me in and I began rebuilding my life. My first step out of homelessness was to apply for general assistance, which is available for people who have no resources. I received $147 a month and $200 worth of food stamps. I was required to make 12 face-to-face job contacts per week and report to GA weekly. I had no transportation, so this required a one-hour walk each way to GA, and I could only look for work that was within walking distance of where I was staying. One of my lowest experiences was when I had to walk 2 hours back from the emergency room to the shelter after having had stitches for a severed artery in my finger. I'd like to report that Monica is now housed. She's working full-time, and we're very fortunate that we've been able to see her transformation. But her story is one of countless others that move us to come here today. There are over 7,000 homeless people in Santa Clara County and an increasing number of homeless families. The county provides 1,800 uplift passes, but that leaves the majority with no means of transportation, and that's the vital link to move ahead. And we can provide that for people like Monica if we get this funding. I think it's a great pilot program. It's going to give us a lot of information. And I think that, and I really want to thank Sam Liccardo, Dave Cortese, and VTA for being so responsive to our community's needs. Thank you.
Next, we have the chair of the San Francisco Youth Commission, Leah. And she will be followed by, and if you would line up, Maya, Nicholas, Sandra, Mia, Jonathan, and Cecilia.
Hello, commissioners. My name is Mia Tumach, and I am a commissioner with the San Francisco Youth Commission. I was appointed by Jane Kim.
My name is Nicholas Persky. I'm also on the San Francisco Youth Commission. I was appointed by Mayor Ed Lee.
And hello, my name is Leah Lacroix. I'm the chair of the San Francisco Youth Commission, and I'm appointed by Mayor Lee as well. And we don't want to take up too much of your time, but we do have some things that we want to communicate to you guys. The Youth Commission is a chartered, mandated commission created by the voters of San Francisco in 1996. And we're a group of 17 young people between the ages of 12 and 23 who advise our mayor and board of supervisors and other city departments on youth issues. And we're just here to vocalize our support for San Francisco's Freeman Youth Pilot Program, and I will kick it off to my colleagues to continue.
Yeah, so one thing we've been working on is a free transit pass for our low-income youth in the city. As you're going to hear in the public testimony today, this will be extremely important for the low-income youth in our city. It's going to allow our youth to be able to be on buses without living in fear of being caught by fare inspectors and paying a huge fine that they wouldn't be able to pay. And also allowing youth to be able to eat breakfast and pay a muni fare on the exact same day, because that's often a choice youth in our city are having to make. So our youth, not only me as a person who's a transit advocate and a person who thinks transit is really cool, but our entire youth commission has supported a resolution urging our mayor and board of supervisors to implement this low-income pass.
But this isn't something we came up with yesterday. We've been working on this for over 2.5 years. And it's not just the San Francisco Youth Commission, but the Board of Supervisors, the Board of Education, and the MTA Board of Directors, and the mayor have all come together to support this project. So we encourage you to support the staff recommendation.
And I just wanted to underscore again the fact that this is something that we've been, as a commission ourselves, have been working on for over 2.5 years. And we understand the concerns, but we just really urge you to support staff recommendation. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. And thank you for the time in which you took and the coordinated effort that it took to make your presentation. Our next speakers are Sarah, Mia, Jonathan, and Cecilia, also from the Youth Commission.
Hi, my name is Sarah Armstrong. I'm a youth commissioner appointed by Supervisor Sean Ellsburn, who represents the western side of San Francisco, which has a lot of schools and young people passing through it. We wanted to let the MTC Programming and Allocations Committee know that San Francisco has already secured $4.9 million in funding. That's $4.3 from the MTA, $400,000 from the Transportation Authority, and $200,000 is assured from the school district.
Hi, my name is Mia Shackelford. I'm a commissioner appointed by Mayor Ed Lee, and I just wanted to let you know that this campaign has really activated young people to become transit advocates and to become passionate about public policy issues, many of whom have never set foot in City Hall before. And I believe that with this pilot program, although there will be concerns about long-term funding, the youth that have come forward and have been making posters and signs and been active on the websites will continue to advocate for long-term funding and be helpful in that process. So I really just urge for you guys to approve the staff recommendation.
Hi, my name is Cecilia. I'm a student at San Francisco University High School, and I like to say I'm a really strong supporter of this issue.
Thank you.
And again, I want to thank the Youth Commission for their presentation and the order in which you have presented. Our next group of speakers will be from Chinatown Community Development Center, and that will be Candon, Michelle, Vivian, Annie, and Ralph.
Hello, my name is Candon, and I'm from Chinatown Community Development Center in San Francisco. We can realize, although free money passed for low-income students, it won't come into effect without proper funding. And with the recent cuts in the school buses and the doubling of the youth fast pass fares, that it's been a problem for some families, and they can't pay for it. When I was little and I was growing up in elementary school and middle school, going to school wasn't a problem for me. In elementary school, I had a yellow school bus to take me to and from school, and my parents could know that I could come home safe every day. And in middle school, I rode the Muni to school, and although we had to pay for it, the fare was affordable and reasonable. But right now, the fare is doubled, and some families, they can't pay for the fare. And we hope that you'll vote yes for the funding. Thank you for your time.
Hi, my name is Michelle Zhang, and I'm from the Chinatown Community Development Center.
I'm Vivian Ng.
The Coalition for Free Muni has been working with the San Francisco Unified School District to create a curriculum that will teach the students how to be safe riders on the Muni.
Along with public safety, we plan on instilling students with a sense of responsibility. Teachers would make sure that they are responsible and considerate riders. Other things that it would include would be like planning a trip, 3511.org, and to be responsible.
Could you speak into the mic, please?
And to be responsible of their Clipper card, meaning we want them to not lose it, to load it, and to tag it on the bus.
Some public safety lessons are to not push when you're getting on the bus, talk quietly to others, and to respect the bus environment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Annie. I would like to add another component, which is lifelong ridership. We would like to teach kids about where Muni can take them around the city. They can take Muni to go to school, go home, go to parks, and even to work. They do not need to drive to all of these places. We will also want to teach them about environmental benefits. There are different curriculums designed for each grade. To give you guys an idea, we are having kindergarteners like brainstorm about positive environmental and health reasons, hoping that they'll recognize long-term benefits and continue to ride Muni in the future. Hopefully they'll learn to value and view Muni as their primary source of transportation as we do. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Ralph. I'm an upcoming sophomore at Galileo, and I live in San Francisco. I'm from CCDC, and I want to add the last component, which is advocacy. San Francisco has been advocating for free Muni for low-income youth for a long time. CB community-based organizations have been helping SFMTA in creating the educational material and the application process. There has been a lot of support from the people, so this is great anticipation that I want to address, and hope MTC realizes this too and make this a reality for the families. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next speaker will be Eric from Youth Empowerment Project. Eric will be followed by Sylvia Lopez, not sure which group, and Bob Allen from Urban Habitat.
Hello, my name is Eric Wu. I'm from the Chinatown Community Development Center's Adopt an Alleyway Youth Empowerment Project. I'm here to speak in favor of the proposal for funding for the SFMTA. So our 22-month pilot program would benefit low-income families tremendously and would also increase their accessibility of resources throughout the city. But what else shall come out of our pilot program is not only a 22-month duration of benefits to the low-income, but an evaluation that would provide valuable information for the San Francisco and for the rest of the regions about what the success are and what lessons we would learn. We will gain an understanding of youth ridership patterns, the extent of clipper cart education, the extent of which the goals of our pilot program were met. The evaluations will be in the travel diaries and information from focus groups before and after the pilot program that would measure the benefit of our pilot program. We are hoping that our evaluation would provide a model for which the region would be able to use in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Buenos días. Mi nombre es Silvia López. Soy miembro de Mujeres Unidas y Activas, con más de 300 mujeres que están organizadas en San Francisco y en Oakland.
Good afternoon. My name is Silvia López with Mujeres Unidas y Activas, and we're an organization that represents over 300 women in San Francisco and Oakland.
La mayoría somos madres solteras con hijos que están estudiando.
The majority of us are single mothers with youth, children that are studying.
Y con un salario de menos de $35,000 al año.
Most of us make less than $35,000 a year.
Y necesitamos que nuestros jóvenes tengan acceso a poder llegar a las escuelas, ya que cada día es más difícil para ellos.
We need to support our youth in having access to getting to school because every day it becomes a greater challenge.
Ya que les están cerrando las escuelas que les quedan cerca y tienen que usar el transporte para llegar a las escuelas donde ellos están sus metas para seguir estudiando.
Knowing that a lot of the local schools close to where the families live are being closed, youth are required to travel further and further out to go to school and study.
Las cuotas que están pidiendo son cada vez más altas.
The fares are increasing.
Y nuestros salarios nunca aumentan. Por eso estoy apoyando ahora para que ellos tengan ese pase para gratis para la transportación.
But our wages never increase. And this is why we're asking for your support in approving youth passes, free youth passes.
Porque yo creo que ellos son nuestro mejor futuro. Gracias.
Because they are our best bet for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Bob Allen, followed by Clarissa from Urban Habitat.
Thanks, Commissioner Glover. Good morning, Commissioners. Before talking about some of the regional implications and why the proposal is a good tie-in for the regional implications, I wanted to clarify one thing, and maybe some of the staff from the TA could clarify this as well, which is our understanding of the STP funding would be that if allocated for this program, it would not be being RFP'd out to other sources in San Francisco. If not allocated for this program, that it would be allocated out through the county, and that MTA may not necessarily get it. So it would be good to get clarification on the nature of those STP funds. And some other folks will talk about the conditioning, which I think we find somewhat problematic as well. I wanted to briefly mention the issues of family flight, the issues of displacement that you've all heard a lot about as part of the SCS process, issues around African-American population in San Francisco, and not only in San Francisco, but in places like Oakland, and the larger effects of the regional planning processes that we're doing here in the Bay Area, and how that impacts folks and why this program is the type of thing we think can address some of those issues. We think a program like this provides some much-needed relief. You've heard from the members of Power and MUA and some other groups today talking about, particularly when we look at a future where your own preferred alternative for the Sustainable Community Strategy estimates by 2040 for low-income residents, they'll be spending up to upwards of 75% of their income on housing and transportation costs. I think we all realize with the fiscalization and the monetization of land use and housing, the very big challenge with the loss of redevelopment funds we have on impacting affordable housing, that this is an area where we think a pilot that can get at one of the major drivers of costs that we think are driving people out of places like San Francisco can be an effective strategy. So we think this kind of program can get at some of the issues we've been struggling with the SCS process, and ask you to support the staff recommendation. Thanks.
Thank you. Rachel or
Hi.
Clarissa.
My name is Clarissa Cobbins-Hagen. I'm from Urban Habitat. Good morning, commissioners. I'd like to urge support for the staff recommendation of the allocation of funds. I want to say that the SF Youth Pilot Program is consistent with the goals of the Regional Climate Initiatives Program, which are as follows. That the $80 million program focus on public outreach and education efforts aimed at, one, helping individuals develop climate-friendly behaviors, reduce the Bay Area's carbon footprint, and lay the groundwork for future climate change initiatives. The Climate Initiatives Program encompasses a suite of complementary grants, incentives, and action-oriented programs, with each investment or tactic measured against pilot programs. I'd like to reiterate that the San Francisco pilot program incorporates and enhances the key components of the Climate Initiatives Program. One, the Climate Initiatives grants; two, public education and outreach; three, safe routes to school; and four, program evaluation. As you can see, the comprehensive approach to the SF pilot program is well matched and clearly supports the Regional Climate Initiatives program. Given that MTC's own research shows that school trips constitute about 10% of morning peak trips in the region, this type of transit investment will encourage the public towards making behavioral choices that result in reduced greenhouse gas emissions and BMT. Thank you, and I urge your support on staff allocation and funding. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker will be from San Francisco STA, Rachel. Rachel will be followed by Amelia of Power.
Yes, hi, Rachel Hyatt, a transportation planner with the San Francisco County Transportation Authority. We have been participating along with the MTA and the coalition partners on the design of an evaluation methodology for the pilot program. The methodology encompasses both the quantitative as well as the qualitative aspects of the benefits of the program. Right now, the plan is to conduct travel diaries for youth to understand how travel patterns change and how hopefully travel destinations increase with the pass, as well as conducting focus groups to get at some of the more qualitative aspects about youth's sense of independence and feelings of safety on Muni and ability to use Muni. As well as MTA's provision of data on some of the aspects of the effects of the pass on, for instance, perhaps crowding. We welcome your input into this evaluation design and encourage your participation in the evaluation of the pilot. Thank you.
Thank you. Amelia from Power, followed by Tina from Power, Ezekiel Power, Paul from Power, and Jan from Power. Are you all here?
Hi, my name is Alma. I'm 14 years old, and I'm about to be a ninth grader. I'm a member of Power. I'm in support of Free Muni for youth, low-income youth. We need the support from the MTC. Sometimes I wonder what would it be if Muni was free. If Muni was free, it would really support my family because my dad hasn't been working since January, so my mom is the one trying to get food on the table. If Muni was free, then we would have extra money for food or other important things. If Muni was free, youth wouldn't have to be scared to ride the bus and getting harassed by the police. From my personal experience, I was in the bus a month ago and I didn't have money to pay for the fast pass, but I needed to get home. Even though I was scared, I risked getting a ticket. I think the youth shouldn't make a decision whether to buy lunch or use the money to pay for the fast pass. I felt really scared because if I would have gotten a ticket, my parents would have had to use the money to pay for the ticket instead of buying food for the week. I don't think that's fair. But I'm not the only one who has the same struggles. I have friends who have been struggling with FastPass, so today I came here to tell you, please support us by giving us the funds to support this program that will help thousands of families like mine. It's not just me. It's not just my family. It's working class communities from San Francisco who urge you to support us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, hi. I am Christina Inita Makarita Sataraka, a lady who knows struggle, who lives each day worrying about receiving $100 tickets from the MTA enforcement, who struggles with the drivers asking for a ride because I used my dollar to buy a bag of chips to feed myself, who has been humiliated in front of many folks by getting kicked off the muni just to get home, who has not only lived a life of struggle but witnessed struggle amongst the different communities around my city of San Francisco. I live smelling the fear and hatredness amongst my African Americans, Latinos, Asian Pacific Islanders, my people of color, and working class folks. The fear of not having enough to pay for fare and the hatredness of getting booted off the bus because they can't afford to pay this high fare. But listen, not with your mouth or with your eyes, but with your heart and your ears. The economic crisis amongst our people of color and people of working class are being forced to migrate out. Since 2009, the Big Bad Wolf, a.k.a. the MTA, doubled fare passes. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't that add more burden towards those who spend more? And those who spend more are people of low-income communities. Like someone I looked up to said, it's not a black thing, a white thing, it's a class division. Listen. So please listen up. I come here not to criticize you all, but to ask you to actually listen with your heart and your ears rather than your mouths and your eyes. That we as youths, adults, people of color, and working class folks unite and came here today to conquer justice and equality for all. So we need your help so that you all will uplift the struggles and burden of amongst our community. Thank you. Spread the word.
Spread truth.
Free Muni for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, MTC. My name is Ezekiel Osman, and I'm a part of Youth in Power in San Francisco from the Excelsior District.
My name is Paulo Hypeman Acosta. I am also from the Excelsior District, Southeast San Francisco. I'm here to represent Power.
And I'm here today. I just wanted to briefly acknowledge everybody here today that has been a part of this movement from the beginning for the past 2 years and to just show some little appreciation. So can I have everybody from Power to please stand up today? Thank you. Can I have people from all the other grassroots organizations and youth commissions please stand up? And can I have all those who have been a part of this movement and assisted and families that have helped made this movement happen today? Everybody else? And can I have everyone that wants this movement to pass to please sit down? Thank you.
Good. We are all here today to show our accountability into fighting this. We all have done numerous things. A lot of us, San Francisco does not have neighborhood schools. We're all going all around just to get to school. It takes us an hour or 2 hours away. Democracy and representation is about the people's needs. We are here representing our communities and respectfully. We're here being accountable. Now we have the funding, the $4 million funding from local SF. Now we find that it's your turn to help us out for this $4 million. There have been so much campaigning we've done. We've done rallies. Families have took their free time to come over and speak and public commenting over at the MTA hearings. We've all just want to say that it has been a struggle and a fight just to get this, and now it's the final, and we should really allege to push it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jay?
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Jane Martin, also from POWER and from the San Francisco Free Muni for Youth Coalition. Thank you so much for taking the time to consider our funding request. I want to speak very briefly about the proposal to possibly condition the funds and ask that you support the staff recommendation as is. I think it's a little bit problematic for the MTC to give somewhat contradictory mandates to San Francisco, which is on the one hand to fully fund this program so that it can succeed. We don't think we want a pilot project that it's not funded and has a hard time going forward. That's not what we're going to be able to learn the most from as a region. And at the same time, condition, you know, prevent us from spending certain funds that are very appropriate on this project. We believe that we've heard from the MTC that Lifeline funds are very appropriate for this kind of project, and we'd like to be able to still consider the use of those funds to support it. You know, there's a lot of different competing needs in low-income communities in our county, as with everywhere. Certainly, the needs of youth transit are an important one, as well as bike and pedestrian improvements. But we feel that it's most appropriate for the county transportation authority to make the decision about which of those programs we can afford to support this year or this time around. We've actually spoken to the San Francisco Bike Coalition about the possibility of using some of those funds for the youth pass, and they were very supportive of that. And if they hadn't been, you know, I think we would have had serious reservations about it, but they were. So thank you very much for considering our proposal, and I really want to urge that you support the staff recommendation as it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker will be Jerry Graves, followed by Ed of San Francisco MTA.
Good morning, everybody. I have a lot of parking with San Francisco because San Francisco movie is don't have enough people on that bus. They are not pushed back all the way to the back of the bus. Get more people on the bus. Last time I was there on Sunday, go to get birthday party. And I tried to get back home and be late night. There were 4 or 5 buses not running. And some people pay, some people do not pay. But there's no right to do that. The same way the daytime and on the bus the same way. You can always be crowded on the bus. People pay. That's fine as pay. I understand that. Youth the same way. Youth, they're going all the way back of the buses and say we don't talk the same way. They don't move all the way back of the buses. More people be on the buses, be okay. But I like that when they are there, I like that idea on that stuff. It's fine. But more people need to be on that bus, need to move back. Because I really fill up this mess, and I see that every time I'm done in the city, I look at the 27 bus, or 23 Biltmore bus, 22 bus, then they move back. They need more buses, and people need more back. People will get more people on that bus. Not crowd up the door. Cannot people come in the door. There's a good idea. I love the idea of Clipper. But youth need to use Clipper a lot more, right? What they have planned now.
Thank you, Jerry.
They don't need it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Ed from MTA.
Good morning, Commissioners. Ed Riskin from the San Francisco MTA, which I think makes me the representative of the big bad wolf here this morning. I want to thank you for your consideration of this item, and I really want to thank the MTC staff for all the work that they've done. This has been a discussion going on in San Francisco for about a year, at least from my perspective. And I think it represents, you've seen a very strong, both a grassroots movement, but also strong political support under Commissioner Campos's leadership. It has the support of City Hall, of the mayor, of the Board of Education. And I also want to thank Commissioner Wiener for his thoughtful questions about this, because as both he and Commissioner Liccardo stated, we have challenges in our transportation systems, and we have to be very thoughtful about how we go about meeting very important needs like this. This pilot, a 22-month pilot, was approved unanimously by the SFMTA board as it approved the upcoming 2-year budget. It also, in that process, approved programming of the other Lifeline funds to meet other critical transportation needs. So we're very grateful for the staff recommendation, both for MTA and VTA, but would also urge your consideration of removing the condition that an additional $1 million of San Francisco transportation funds backfill or complete the pilot. We believe that a 19-month pilot, which is what we would be able to afford with the $4 million versus the $5 million, would be just as valuable as a 22-month pilot. That the 22-month duration was built based on what we thought we could afford, and that was based on the $5 million of regional funds. With $4 million, we can do just about as much pilot without adversely impacting the other programs that are within our budget, which has been approved by our board. But I want to thank you all for your consideration and the staff for its work.
Thank you, Ed. We do have a commissioner question of you.
Yeah, Ms. Erskine, I thank you for the presentation. So you made a statement. I just want to make sure that, just to sort of clarify that and maybe expand on that, about the MTA committed the, I think, the $4.3 million as part of the budget process.
Yeah, so that it's a, what the MTA board approved was a $9.4 million program that largely is the anticipated revenue loss, but includes, I think, $200,000 of one-time clipper costs and then some other administrative costs. Of that $9.4 million, $4.3 is SFMTA operating funds. There's, I think, $400,000 from the County Transportation Authority that's already been approved of Lifeline funds. As one of the speakers said, $200,000 from the Unified School District, and then $5 million anticipated from the MTC.
And in terms of the additional million in Lifeline money that would have to be reprogrammed, I believe it's been referred to as bike and pedestrian safety money. Can you just talk about where that money would come from?
Yeah, I believe what the both the MTC and the County Transportation Authority staff have identified as kind of the most readily available money are STP funds that we have anticipated in our budget, and it's, I think it's a fair point. Those funds would have to be competed for, as is true of many funds in our budget. They've been anticipated in our capital budget for bike and pedestrian improvements associated with paving projects. When we do paving projects in San Francisco, we try to leverage the fact that we've got construction crews mobilized to make other ancillary bike and ped improvements because it's much cheaper to do so that way. But we don't necessarily always have the funds to be able to do those, whereas we have a backlog of pedestrian and bike safety projects. So this funding source was programmed in our budget by our board to enable that to happen.
And so when the MTA board adopted this, the program as part of its two-year budget, it was with the anticipation that $1 million would be used for something else. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It was explicitly stated in our staff report. I think it was also explicitly stated in the letter that I had sent to the MTC that's part of your packet.
Now, in terms of that money flows, and I hope I'm not botching any of the terminology, but that flows through the County Transportation Authority, correct?
I believe so, and we have folks here. Right. If you have technical money questions, who can better answer that from the Transportation Authority.
And so the TA could basically reprogram that money without MTA's permission? Is that right?
I'll defer to the TA about how that money gets programmed.
Okay. I think Ms. Lombardo is here from the TA.
Good morning, Commissioners. Maria Lombardo, Chief Deputy with the Authority. Yes, that's correct. The STP funds through to us through MTC, so the Authority Board gets to decide which eligible Lifeline projects they would go to, which could be bike, ped, or anything else.
Okay. So even though the MTA has from its perspective, said it wants to use that $1 million for bike ped safety, the TA could say we're going to allocate it instead to this other MTA program.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
We have a question also. Is that for Ed?
I think. I'm not really sure right now because I'm now hearing of so many transportation committees in San Francisco, they might want to follow Alameda County's lead and consolidate them, and then they would have enough money to do these programs. But is the TA the half-cent sales tax authority?
It's the CMA.
Okay, who's the half-cent sales tax?
That's the CMA. That's the Transportation Authority.
That's who I need to ask a question. Okay. So you have a half-cent. You are a self-help county.
Correct.
Okay. When was your measure?
Most recently, it was reauthorized in 2003.
And how many years is it?
The expenditure plan is 30 years.
Is it an in perpetuity?
Yes, essentially, as long as we have an active expenditure plan, the sales tax is in perpetuity.
Nice. Okay. So, I love that in perpetuity vote. Saves running campaigns. That's a great idea. My question to you is, do you have any, emerging project categories or anything like that that could be applied to this?
No, we do not. And in fact, the current expenditure plan also strictly limits the funds that can be used for operational type projects like this. And the only category that we can fund is paratransit operations, which we do.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Our last speaker is Betty Ingram from Habitat.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dr. Betty Ingram. My affiliation is with Genesis, a nonprofit organization for social justice created by St. John's Episcopal Church in Montclair. And I'm here this morning to, as a long-term Oakland resident and a medical physician going into a residency next year at UCSF in forensic medicine, to urge the committee to continue your support for the $4 million regional funding for the San Francisco Bus Pass and its sister program in Alameda County, the Eco Bus Pass. As a young person growing up outside of Chicago, Illinois, I know the importance of education and the ability to access the cultural endeavors around you. And I just urge this for those young people who aren't promised a future in this country, but are promised an opportunity to pursue a future. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any other public speakers. Is there anyone else that wishes to address the commission? Okay, if not, we will close this portion of
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Luis Barahona, and I am a community organizer for the Jamestown Community Center in San Francisco in the Mission District of San Francisco. I'm also part of the Coalition for Free Muni for Youth that has been working on this for over 2 years. I just want to restate some of the stuff that's been said. We've been working on this for 2 years. It's a coalition of grassroots folks working on this to ensure that we can get free muni for our kids. This came out of some of the issues that we were having around fair enforcement and the targeting of youth and the problems that we were having with our youth having to pay tickets and not being able to afford it. So I also just want to get up here and restate that we oppose the condition that the conditioning of these funds, San Francisco not spending additional funds. We agree with MTC that the Lifeline funding is a good match for this program. Why should we limit a program that has been designed to use all of the proposed funding and that will help to inform the region? So I just want to reiterate that the coalition does not support the amendment, the conditional use amendment, and thinks that the SFMTA and the MTA should be the folks that are deciding how we spend our fundings, how we use our funding. A big part of the design is education and evaluation, working very closely with the school board. We've created lesson plans and evaluation system and really think that we as a city should be able to figure this out. Thank you.
Thank you. I need you to fill out a speaker card, please.
Yes.
Over here to your. Where? Okay.
Buenos días a todos. Mi nombre es Teresa Molina y estoy aquí para apoyar la campaña de los bus passes gratis para nuestros jóvenes.
Good afternoon. My name is Teresa Molina. I'm here to support the coalition and our campaign to win free youth passes for our children.
Y la razón por la que estoy aquí es porque en realidad los bases amarillos que nuestros jóvenes tenían antes ya los han quitado. Y para que ellos lleguen a las escuelas necesitan usar dos bases. Y es bien triste que a veces se suben por detrás porque uno no tiene dinero para darles, para que ellos paguen su pasaje, pero ellos tienen la necesidad de llegar a la escuela porque ellos quieren aprender.
We're here waging this campaign because school buses have been cut. You know, our children oftentimes have to ride more than one bus, take two buses to get to school. There have been times when I haven't had the money to give my children, you know, transit money to get on the bus, and unfortunately they have to risk getting a ticket just to try to get to school.
Y en lo personal, mi experiencia es de comprarle cuatro fast passes a mis hijos y aparte el mío, y con la economía tan baja no hay trabajos, y nosotros a veces, yo en mi persona a veces tengo que decidir o comprarles de comer o comprarles los fast passes, y eso es una barrera para nuestros jóvenes. Ellos no llegan a la escuela con muchos ánimos por ver la deficiencia de trabajo y de dinero en nuestra familia.
It's very difficult. I myself have to buy four fast passes for my kids. I have to buy a fast pass for myself. The economy is really bad, so there isn't any work. And aside from that, it's very difficult for our children even to be able to concentrate and go to school because they understand it's a difficult time in the family. There isn't a lot of funding, so there's just so many challenges that they face in trying to get an education.
Y esto no es un lujo, es una necesidad que nuestros jóvenes necesitan. Y por lo tanto les pido que piensen y usen su corazón, porque ustedes también fueron jóvenes y usaron los transportes, o quizás tuvieron el privilegio, ¿verdad?, de tener un carro propio, pero piensen en nuestra juventud, que es el futuro del mañana.
Thank you.
We want to ask that you support us, that you use your hearts, because you were once children, and maybe for you, you had the option to have a car and get around that way. But this isn't a luxury for us. This is a need. So we need your support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Antonio Maravaz. I live in San Francisco.
And Mr. Antonio will be our last speaker.
I'm here. Thank you. Good morning, commissioners and everybody who showed up to attend this meeting. I think it's very important that we support our youth. I look at them, I heard every message that they say, those are people who are gonna serve our community. Those are future for our cities. They're gonna be our future representatives, so we have to support them. They're brave kids. My understanding is that the free youth pass is gonna only cover low-income families. It's not going to cover all the youth from wealth families. San Francisco got $6.8 billion on budget, and I don't understand why statewide we cannot get $5 million to support our kids for the next 2 years. There are a lot of money going for roads and bridges. And I can't really believe that you guys are going to turn these kids down. I'm here to support them. They're brave kids. They're bright kids. They're good students. They need transportation to go back and forth to school, see the doctors, for shopping, and help their families. They're going to be our future engineers, doctors, lawyers. Please support them, and I'm here to support them 100%. Thank you.
Thank you. That is our last public speaker. Let me acknowledge our young people today and their organization and articulation of the issue. I think that we could take lessons for how it should be done when making presentation. If you, my commission, would join me in giving them a hand for the way that they conducted the program. Okay, I will now take comments from commissioners. Vice Chair Campos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a quick question for staff, if I may, and I also want to echo the comments again about the young people who are here. It's very gratifying to see that. I'm trying to understand the necessity of the amendment that has been presented. The way that I read the recommendation is that there is flexibility in terms of what San Francisco can or chooses to do, or VTA for that matter, that under the recommendation, you are recommending that $4 million be allocated to San Francisco, $1 million to VTA. If the agencies choose to fund the project under the current scope, there's an understanding that they have to come up with additional money. But as I read the recommendation, if the agencies choose to simply fund the scope as, you know, allotted with the existing money, with no additional money from San Francisco as an example, they can choose to have a scale down, a sort of a smaller scope. Is that a fair understanding, that there is flexibility for these agencies in terms of where they go from here?
Staff's recommendation was actually a little bit more specific. I think we were hoping to be able to deliver on the scope that San Francisco had set forth, particularly thinking about the timeline and covering, you know, a two-school-year period. So I think the recommendation that staff had outlined, and I understand there's going to be discussion about it, was actually that we would provide $4 million and we would expect the full scope to be able to be delivered, which I think would necessitate an additional $1 million, and we weren't specific about where that would come from. Lifeline would be one option, but other funding would also obviously be fine as well.
Okay. And what I would simply say about the amendment is, you know, I understand and appreciate the spirit in which it is offered, but the problem that I have with the amendment is that it actually ties the hands of the agency in terms the agencies in San Francisco in terms of what they choose or not choose to do. I think that it's appropriate for San Francisco internally to have those discussions. I don't think that it's a good idea from a policy standpoint for the MTC to say to another agency, you cannot do this or that. I think that's a discussion that we can certainly have in San Francisco, and if we want to avail ourselves of this of the benefits of this recommendation, then we will find the additional $1 million. If we choose not to, that means that we're not going to go down the road of implementing the project that's currently structured. I think that that's something that each agency needs to decide for itself. And so I support the recommendation of staff as presently before us. I wish that, you know, the recommendation gave San Francisco more money, obviously, but I understand, you know, why the recommendation is structured the way it is. Thank you.
Okay, other commissioners? Commissioner Cortese?
Yeah, I just want to encourage the committee to support the recommendation. I think from a Santa Clara County perspective, first of all, Commissioner Liccardo did a good job of explaining where the VTA is at in terms of exploring things and where that all started. And I'd like to thank the public speakers who came up from Santa Clara County, because they also did a great job of explaining some of the history behind VTA and Santa Clara County's efforts to explore this type of a pilot in the first place. If I had to make one comment, and it's just intended for future reference to be productive on the sustainability side, and I actually think it is something that's come up, as I recall, in the transit sustainability discussions, the transit operators need to be encouraged and need to be encouraged going forward to allow as much flexibility in terms of the labeling of these passes as possible. The one speaker got up and said, included eco passes in the same breath as youth passes in terms of their importance, and referred to them as sort of a cousin or sister or related type passes. You know, there's, with the exception of one line in Santa Clara County, there's really no risk of displacing paying customers right now on a one-year pilot with any of these products. I would defy anybody to, you know, to prove otherwise, and to deny people access to buses that are half empty, because we're worried about displacing fare box recovery that's in effect already been paid for through these means or through you know, county dollars or other dollars that are out there is really kind of absurd. But I think that's, you know, I'm not asking or suggesting that strings be attached as an MTA commissioner. I'm actually suggesting that as an MTC commissioner, but that MTC going forward, you know, continue to try to have dialogue with the operators to be more flexible in terms of you know, the strict labeling of these passes so that we can get them into the hands of the people who need them most, particularly low income. But I do think these pilots will help bring out those issues, and I think if for no other reason, the pilot should go forward, you know, to help us determine how to be even more effective in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Green, did you?
A couple of things. One, first of all, even though I'm not voting today on this, I will have a real tough time voting in favor of this with Alameda County being left on the sideline on this. And I say that, you know, effectively we're going in front of our voters in November requesting them to vote on providing funds internally for something very comparable to this. And which isn't to say there isn't need in those other counties, but you know, we really didn't hear a full answer. Is it, I don't know in San Francisco who's able to actually amend the program. Does that have to go back to a voter, or does the Transportation Authority have that? Same thing at VTA. I mean, which way, which how do you amend the program down there? I just have a tough time, and not just a tough time, an extremely difficult time voting in favor of this later this month when I'm going to be telling our voters, you know, we need you to pay another half-cent sales tax, among other things. I mean, this is many more things than just this included, but this is one of the things which is a prominent item in it. And then saying over here, well, by the way, that was fine for you guys to pay for, but when I said at MTC, we just dispersed money to San Francisco and Santa Clara counties on it, free, so to speak. So I have a real tough time doing that. I will say, though, more on specifically in front of this, which is why, again, I think that there needs to be something in it for more than just the two counties that were mentioned at this point. Getting back to specifically, because I'm anticipating I'll be in the minority on this, that never bothers me, really, is that as far as the amendment, I mean, I know what you're getting at there, Scott. It seems like you're trying to keep your own county from spending money where you don't want them to spend it. And I see, David, though, where you would like to be able to deal with that inside, and I think that in many ways I'd sort of be leaning your direction on that, to be able to do what you think you need to do, assuming this makes it through. But I did have just a couple of other points about this. Is in you know, in Lawson's letter to us on page 2 of his response, he says that where the pilot program to prove successful, VTA will continue to work with MTC, so they're going to be coming back if this is deemed successful down south. They'll be coming back here for more money. And I'm wondering also then in San Francisco, you talked about the $9.4 million loss of revenues and incremental costs. And then it says plus preliminary estimates of up to $5.2 million incremental service costs and another $500,000 for outreach and communications. Where's that other $5.7 coming out of? Anybody, either one of you guys have any idea on that? Do you know what it is?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to figure out as the implementation begins is what the possible impact on service is, and it's not entirely clear, you know, what that would be, but it's one of the things that we're trying to figure out, which is why we're considering different options in terms of a permanent source of funding. You know, one of the things that Mayor Lee has talked about is the idea of perhaps getting private funding to cover some of those things, and that's certainly something that we're exploring. Again, I just believe that those are the kinds of discussions and analyses that should be taking place at the San Francisco level internally so that we figure out the best way to address those issues. Thank you.
Commissioner Weiner, Bates, and then Haggerty.
Thank you. So, first of all, just the MTC conditions funding on a whole variety of things all the time. And in fact, we have the transit sustainability project, which has a big hammer in terms of the conditions of reducing transit costs. So I don't think it's in any way extraordinary to say we're conditioning on this money on X, Y, or Z. I'm just proposing a different condition than the condition that was already recommended by the staff. But I want to be real clear about where we are. This is coming forward to this commission and being presented as the unified San Francisco front. The Board of Supervisors has voted to support this program, the Transportation Authority, the school board, and the mayor, and most significantly, the MTA itself, which has to administer the program. And so that's a pretty powerful thing, a unified San Francisco front. But now, and the reason I asked the questions I asked of Mr. Riskin and Ms. Lombardo was to make sure that people understand what will happen once, when and if the commission moves forward and adopts the staff recommendation. The MTA Board of Directors, in approving this program, allocated the $4.3 million. And it was very clear that it was conditioned on not having to pay anymore and having, you know, depending on the regional money and the other sources identified in the program. So $4.3 million for the MTA to put into it. The mayor, in coming out for this, in the letter that everyone has, says that the pilot program itself is conditional on MTC acting to fund the program. SFMTA is not in a position to provide funding beyond the $4.3 million already budgeted for the pilot. So the mayor also came forward with the same conditional support. If the commission adopts the staff recommendation without the amendment that I'm proposing, what will happen, and this I think will answer Commissioner Green's question, this will not go back to the MTA to say, MTA, do you agree? This will not go back to the mayor, do you agree? This will go back to the County Transportation Authority, which is the Board of Supervisors, which will have the discretion to say, MTA, we're taking that $1 million that you appropriated for bike and ped safety, and we're putting it to this instead. And MTA, as you know, and that's why I asked those questions, doesn't have a say in that. The TA can do that unilaterally. The Board of Supervisors can do that unilaterally. The mayor doesn't have to sign off on it. The MTA doesn't have to sign off on it. That money gets reallocated. So the MTA and the mayor were both very clear that they support the program based on MTA putting in the $4.3 million. And to take another $1 million that was going to be MTA bike and ped safety money and move that over is not consistent with that support. And so I think it is entirely appropriate for us to say, we're putting in this money, no more local money, conditional, no more local money. And what will happen, Commissioner Haggerty, is that city MTA will have a choice, either to tailor the program to the funding available, which might mean a shorter program, or, and Commissioner Campos has spoken about this, the mayor has spoken about this, getting private money to make up the difference for that $1 million. And in fact, I know that the discussions that have been happening around private funding for this program have been for amounts significantly larger than the $1 million in terms of future funding, et cetera. So $1 million in the private funding for this to make up that gap would not be an extraordinary thing. And my amendment is very specific about public funds. It would not in any way prohibit a private funder from coming forward putting in the $1 million to keep the program whole. So I just wanted to really just put that explanation out there about where I'm coming from and where I see the context here.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tom Bates, representing the Alameda County Cities. My concern is, first of all, I'm very sympathetic to what people are trying to accomplish here. In San Francisco and also in Santa Clara. I think it's essential that we figure out some way to provide low-income people with the opportunity to access at an affordable rate on public transportation. I don't think there's any doubt about that. My concern is with this proposal is several. First of all, is the sort of the issue of regional equity. You know, I recognize that San Francisco and Santa Clara are pilots, but still, I mean, as Commissioner Green pointed out, Alameda County is going out to his voters and asking them to pay for this themselves, not coming to MTC. So at the minimum, I think staff has to provide some way to say, look, at, if this is going to be successful pilot, how are we going to, you know, what are the next steps? How are we going to continue this? Are these agencies prepared to continue this, which is my second concern, is the long-term ramifications of this? And how do we take this to other places, like the North Counties? How do we take this to Contra Costa? I mean, it's not like you guys have all of the poor people, and we don't. You have all the children, and we don't. We have the same problems all over. So how do we make this apply to everyone? And I don't know how that works. I don't know how that's going to happen. The other thing is, I'm familiar with AC Transit's youth pass that they had in Richmond, and I think it might have been successful, but they were unable to continue it. They were unable to continue because they couldn't find the funding. So my question is, where's the money going to come from to continue this pilot? And also, I would certainly, if we go forward, inclined, just because of the reference of Commissioner Liccardo, that they're not coming back here. I hope that's true. But my experience has been that once something gets started, they'll always keep coming back for more to try to make it, keep it up and keep it going. And if that's truly the case, and I guess I'm also, I have feelings that if being able to provide lower cost, in Santa Clara's case, being able to provide lower cost passes for people will increase the ridership. I just have a lot of concerns about that, you know, the cost offsets. In other words, you provide this subsidy. Are we really going to attract that many more riders that are going to make it worthwhile? I don't know. It seems like if that was a good strategy, these agencies, these bus agencies and people providing transportation ought to have that policy in place a long time ago. And why haven't they? Is it probably because it hasn't worked? So I'm really conflicted about this proposal. And as it stands now, I don't think it's ready. I'm ready to vote for it.
Okay. Commissioner Haggerty.
This is two times in a week that I've agreed with Commissioner Bates.
Oh no!
So I will.
It's a national holiday.
I will be going home today and reevaluating my life in politics. I think, but I don't have much more to say.
And I would support that, Mr. Baggett.
You should. It's a long overdue. I wouldn't expect any huge changes, to be honest with you. I agree with everything that Commissioner Bates and Commissioner Green has said. You know, not being a voting member on this committee, I was going to keep relatively quiet today, but I didn't want my silence to misconstrue that I was supporting this. And I, you know, the unfortunate thing for me is somebody who's going out right now with Commissioner Green and Commissioner Bates with the Measure B3, which is a $7 billion project that, quite frankly, MTC needs. They need this badly. This is really the second time where if somebody wanted to oppose it, they could say, see, they just went to MTC and got the money. We don't need to do this. And that's frustrating to me because I think we're kind of in groundbreaking territory where we are breaking the level of the half-cent sales tax and moving to a full cent. So I think it really, for this region, what we're about to do sets a precedence, and we all need it to pass. I do want the people who spoke today to understand, though, that I support free transit. And I'm on that record. I don't know how we get there. And I really believe that maybe what we should be doing is having that discussion. How do we make transit free for everyone? And, and move from that standpoint. Having said that, if that we can't get there, then maybe we should look at heavily subsidized more than it already is. Severely reducing the rate of what you pay to ride transit. So I think that, you know, instead of just kind of picking these things off little by little, what we need to do is look at the transit system as a whole in the nine barrier counties and say, you know, how do we reduce what people are paying to ride transit? What does it take? Is it parcel tax? Is it a sales tax? What is it that would allow anybody at any time to get on a BART train, ride it to AC, and get to jobs, work, house, school, whatever it is? So I think that this needs a little bit more work, and when it does get to the commission, I won't be supporting it.
Hey, Commissioner Weiner, followed by Spearing.
Sorry.
Commissioner Liccardo, followed by Spearing.
Okay, thank you. You know, when this first started, it was a San Francisco pilot program, and I thought it was going to be a very narrowly focused pilot program, something that we might be able to apply throughout the region. And then when it surfaced, it had VTA involved, and I'm not quite sure how VTA got included without discussions with the other counties throughout the region or other agencies, and so that was a concern. I'm not so concerned about this issue that was raised about using their own funds. You know, I mean, if the pilot program is successful and they want to continue it, then San Francisco can take it to their voters. They can change their sales tax measure. They can do whatever they want. But I do have concerns when I read in the letter from VTA where it does say we would, work with MTC and these other organizations for funding the program. So I have a concern about that, how that continues and the impact that would have. And, I agree with Scott that we do condition money all the time. I think MTC has a responsibility that our actions do not contribute to any more operating shortfalls. I think we have a responsibility to see that we don't do that, that our actions don't create that. And, you know, as I read this program here, it says the total estimate for revenue loss and incremental cost for the 22-month program is $9.4 million, and it goes on with the 5.2. This comes at a great cost. I hope everybody doesn't think that, you know, you just put the money in, that lost revenue doesn't impact the system, because it's going to. And so I was really hoping that there was going to be a pilot program done in San Francisco, very focused, that we could take that data and apply it either in Santa Clara, Solano County, or Napa. It would be something that we could use throughout the region. But I sure hope the commission takes a deep breath and slows this down a little bit and has our staff look at developing a program that, once we get the results, it can be applied throughout the region. I'm very concerned the way I see these two different programs going in different directions. I really liked what Sam Vaccaro said about, not a free pass and there'd be some discount and not loss of fare box recovery. That's very intriguing, and I think that maybe that needs to be looked at through a regional program. But I really feel that at this point this is a little half-baked, and I sure hope the commission continues to look at this, but I kind of hope we don't approve it in the format that it's being presented to us. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Liccardo.
Thank you. I just wanted to respond to a couple, I think, very thoughtful questions that were raised. One is with regard to Jim's question, Commissioner Sperry's question about how did ETA get in this? And I don't think there's any question. The train was sort of moving down the rail, and we learned about it and said, well, hey, wait a minute, we've been working on this too. We'd like to be a part of it. So there's not much question about the fact that there was a lot of public discussion, and I know publicity around the San Francisco program. The reality was we had already retained a consultant. We had extensive conversations with our community about how could we do this, and certainly a pilot had been conceived of. The reality was we saw an opportunity for regional funding because we didn't have the funding ourselves. And so that's why VTA came forward. And I think certainly we all understand. I think we've all been in similar situations in other programs. Where I guess what I want to address also was, I think, both Commissioner Hagerty and Commissioner Bates raised important questions around what exactly are we really going to learn in all this. And I know that all of our agencies spend a lot of resources trying to figure out how do we set pricing. That's a really critical question for all of our agencies in terms of trying to make sure that we can serve as many people as possible. We know there's a huge transit-dependent population out there that can't afford all the other alternatives, and we need to try to help them engage and be part of be mobile in our communities. We know that different commuters have different levels of price sensitivity. Some drivers will pay a couple bucks more to go through an express lane. Some bus riders will pay 50 cents more because they cannot afford a car and they still need to get to work, and they're going to make a very tragic choice between transportation and health care. But we can certainly know that there are many folks who are not terribly sensitive to small changes in price. The question is there a subset of our riders who may be very sensitive to price? And we can do lots of market studies, which all of our agencies do, and you'll never know from a survey until you actually change the price and watch behavior, right? You can certainly come up with theories, and it may be entirely optimistic to believe that somehow or another we're not going to lose aggregate fare box revenue if we were to cut prices for some small subset of population. In this case, we identified 4,800 general assistance recipients, said if we cut the price for them, what's that going to do to ridership? I think we ought to ask the questions, and whether that's in Santa Clara County only or in many counties, I think we ought to at least see if we can get out there on the street with real changes in prices and see how that affects behavior in a meaningful way. And I don't oppose the notion that we somehow slow it down and take a look at how we can do this to be sure that we're actually learning something that's useful for all the counties. I would just ask that we do move forward with something that both provides some relief and provides us information that we all want, I think, to expand transit opportunities in our counties.
Thank you. Any other commissioners? Commissioner Campos.
Thank you. If I may, I just wanted to thank Commissioner Sparing for his comments. I think that for us in San Francisco, you know, we have made sure from the very beginning that we have a very well thought out pilot. And to the extent that there are changes, modifications that the commission wants to make sure that this is something that the commission itself can benefit and it's something that benefits the entire region, we're open to that. We have really tried to make sure that we have a thoughtful approach and that every piece of the pilot is implemented well. As I indicated, we have a very strong evaluation component that we want to see implemented here. And so, you know, we feel that it's not half-baked, that we have really put a lot of thought into it, and if there are changes, we're open to those changes. If the modification, the amendment that Supervisor Weiner has introduced is something that people want to see, even though I don't think it's necessary, I'm certainly open to that. The challenge for us is that we have a community of families and youth that have been working on this for quite some time. We would like to see this implemented for this coming academic year, which starts in August. And for that to happen, we need to get some action from the region, and that's really the reason why we're here. And so I would hope that you would give us the opportunity to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Dodd.
Yeah, I'd first like to thank members of the public who came here today and shows really that a big part of the community is working together in San Francisco. And I guess I just look at this thing, and I, as a chairman of the Transit Sustainability Committee, you know, what we saw a lot of was that transit operating costs are going up and revenues are going down. And, you know, while I do feel like we need to do something, I think Commissioner Haggerty pointed out that I think something needs to be done. I do think there's a bigger conversation that needs to be done. I just don't really see this as sustainable. And I think what we do is we set up expectations in communities, particularly San Francisco, that this is what's going to happen in the future. And that this is it's a pilot program now, but it's, you know, all of a sudden the expectation is it's always going to be like that. And I just look at the money. I look at, you know, what's going on, in transit today, and I just don't think it's sustainable. I think that, the idea of things being free set up another expectation that it's not valued. So I think that there could be, this program could be reworked where it's not free, but it's substantially reduced. I look at the regional equity issue that's also been brought up and think that's an important thing, which, again, leads to the lack of sustainability, because I don't see how you do it region-wide with as much money as this, would cost. And then finally, while I haven't been too, I don't know what the word is, convinced that Alameda's concerns and past couple of issues that has been brought up here. I can't even remember what the issues are now.
We were only right.
I'm sure you were. I, I do really see this, the timing here, as another issue, you know, with them on, you know, on the on that election. I am concerned about that. It's a lot of dough coming into the region on their transportation sales tax, and I just think that needs to be considered in the bigger discussion.
Any other comments? Okay, I thank all of my colleagues for your comments. I view this project as something that could be beneficial. I support the concept of the project. I have very strong reservations about going forward with it. However, I think there are major equity issues here from a regional perspective. I think that there are major sustainability issues in terms of building expectations and being able to continue to deliver on this particular program in the future. Excuse me. So I will not be able to support this. I know that I really do appreciate our young folks and the work that has that they've put up into this program down through the last couple of years, and the other various agencies that have aligned themselves, and the work that San Francisco, the city, has done to move this forward. But I just think that we have some real issues here that we will not be able to deliver, even if a project proves to be one that is worthy. I don't know that it's going to be sustainable. We in Contra Costa have a major issue just in delivering transit service to some of our far pockets of the region. And to say that we're going to put a pilot in, and I'm still trying to get people from their residents to educational facilities and healthcare facilities, it really imposes a problem for me. So I cannot support this. I think that there's an opportunity to really step back and take a look at maybe a regional project, a pilot, and see how that would work. But this one here for me, I think, is premature in terms of being able to get the results that's going to be beneficial to the region as a whole. So with that being said, I guess there's a decision before this body whether to recommend to the full body. I think what I'm hearing is a mixed bag, and I think that this just goes to the body as a whole with no recommendation.
That stays here.
And we do have the amendment here also.
Yeah. So what I would ask is that we I move the amendment, and I suggest that we vote on that, and then whether that passes or doesn't pass, we can then vote on the whole item. You know, I will just say that for me, you know, obviously I've made my views, personal views clear, and within San Francisco, I am with the amendment. Even though I have my personal views, I here representing San Francisco, and I would be open to moving this to the full commission with the amendment. Without the amendment, given that this is a new thing, putting the, you know, with the $1 million and the movement from bike and ped, that's a real problem for me. So I do move that amendment, and I hope the committee will adopt it.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, can
yes.
I'll make a courtesy second.
Can I just comment?
I'm going to make a courtesy second.
Okay, on the question.
Okay. I was just going to ask that Commissioner Weiner withdraw that motion, and that we don't move a recommendation. You know, there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of issues been raised. I mean, even the amendment that Commissioner Weiner brought forward, I think, needs to be looked at by our staff. And I think in fairness with the discussion that we've had, there's certainly mixed opinions on this. I think there's a general consensus to at least look at some type of pilot program. But I would just hate to have a motion go forward that really cuts off this dialogue and discussion and give our staff at least you know, a little bit of time to look into this a little bit further with the discussion that we've had. And you know, I just think any motion that we do, it may be something we have to undo, or it may put something in motion that is going to hinder the opportunity that might be before us. And so I would certainly encourage that we don't take action. Let our staff take the information they've heard today and maybe bring back to the full commission, you know, a modified recommendation or at least more consideration.
Thank you.
Commissioner?
Oh. Hey, Commissioner. I'd like to hear from Commissioner Combos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My preference would be along the lines of what Commissioner Spearing indicated. I think that we in San Francisco have always said that while we recognize that these are issues that are impacting our city, that these are issues that are larger than just about San Francisco, that it impacts the entire region. And so I certainly would be open to working with staff and figuring out ways of addressing some of the concerns and issues that have been raised by the commission. I think that we want to proceed, obviously, expeditiously, but we also want to make sure that we do something that ultimately is to the benefit of the entire region. So I think that having further discussion makes sense. And so I would make a motion to continue the item to the call of the chair, so that we can have those discussions.
If that's a substitute motion, I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to continue this and have more discussion.
And I'll withdraw my motion in deference to that.
Yeah, I second.
Okay, and all right. All those in favor of...
Mr. Chairman, can the staff ask a question?
Sure.
What is it?
Want a little clarity?
Look, I want to make sure everyone knows what we're doing here, because I heard Commissioner Campos earlier talk about the importance of trying to meet a schedule for the school year. If you continue this to the call of the chair of this committee, I think that means we're not doing anything till July. So as long as that's understood.
Yes. That was not my intent. My intent was to our staff look at this and potentially bring something back to the full commission if they can have some, because San Francisco does have a time constraint.
That's why I'm raising the question.
When you said chair, I thought you meant the chairman of the commission.
And I apologize. That's what I my intent would be to make sure that we have the opportunity for staff to come back to the full commission. So I amend my motion to reflect that.
Okay, just for clarity. So this will come back at our meeting later this month with staff having taken a closer look at the issue to the full commission. That's the motion that's before us. On the question.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to speak to the question.
Yes.
Again. You know, I'm very frustrated. I recognize there's issues trying to get things to happen right away, but I don't think it's realistic to try to push this forward and try to make this happen in this next school year. I mean, I think we need to be sober about this. We need to step back and try to figure out what's a really good regional program, what's a really good pilot that we can actually benefit from, and look at the question of sustainability and look at the question of the equity. So I find it difficult to even move forward on this kind of a motion.
If I may.
Commissioner Cortese?
There's nothing that would stop us from making that decision, Commissioner Bates, at the next update. If that's the case, I mean, there's been a lot of people here talking about caution and, you know, a thorough approach. I don't see any reason we can't consider that at the next update, but okay. It's no reason to delay the next update. That's what I would encourage you to support the motion from that perspective.
There's a motion before us. All of those in favor of the motion, can we do a roll call vote, please?
Can you restate the motion?
Okay, and a restate of the motion.
Basically, it would be to bring this item to the full commission, and during that time that it comes before the commission, staff will do some work to take into account some of the comments that were made.
Point of clarification: that would be effectively moving it to the full commission with no recommendation.
Right. With no recommendation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, and I'm...
Commissioner Green and then Haggerty.
Thank you.
All I want to know is what, you know, that euphemism of issues that were discussed by the commission, what issues? I mean, we've heard a lot of issues. I mean, we've heard, you know, East Bay equity, North Bay equity, whether or not this amendment that Scott put in front of you, what the effect that has, timing, sustainability, fares. I mean, how are all these issues are going to be thoroughly resolved in 2 weeks? Or, you know, I agree, Dave, they won't be. So, I mean, is that the breadth of the issue? So that's what I wanted. I mean, that's all the things that were talked about.
Commissioner Haggerty.
Did you want an answer?
I just saw David say yes, like nobody else.
What about staff?
I've really been...
Should I go?
Yes.
Well, maybe you'll get an answer at some point, Mr. Green. You know, the only thing that I would say is when we're talking about, you know, what we want staff to do, there is a paragraph on page 2 of the agenda item that refers to the Alameda CTC, and that they, too, have made a request. But I guess why we're not at the table and why we're the meal is because they've received no written documentation. So I'd respectfully ask that MTC staff work with CTC, Alameda CTC, as this comes back to see what is the program they want and see how they can accommodate them also.
Okay. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair.
The directions... Sam?
I just want to join my voice with those who have expressed the notion that I think we're really throwing staff to the wolves here and expecting them to be able to accomplish an awful lot in a couple weeks and come back with something that anyone's going to be very comfortable with. Maybe it would be better for us to take a step back at this point and think a little bit more about what exactly we do want, at least define the issues we want fully vetted, and give everybody an opportunity to succeed.
I need to agree with Commissioner Liccardo. I think that there's a lot of work to be done in this area, and I don't know that it's going to be accomplished by our next meeting. I'm okay with moving it forward to the next meeting and having a more robust discussion, but I don't think that we're going to get any outcomes from that meeting that is going to allow this commission, especially those who have spoken in terms of equity and sustainability issues, to be able to support this. But we do have a motion on the floor, and we'll go ahead with a roll call vote.
Commissioner Federal Glover?
No.
Commissioner David Campos?
Aye.
Commissioner Tom Bates?
No.
Commissioner Dave Cortese?
Aye.
Commissioner Bill Dodd? Commissioner Scott Weiner?
Aye.
3 yeses, 3 noes.
Motion fails.
Okay. That motion fails, and just to confirm that I'm correct in that, council?
Yeah.
The motion fails.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Yes, so Commissioner Bates.
Yeah, I would suggest that we keep this here with this committee. I'd like to ask staff a month. If we come back next month at this committee, would some of those more telling issues be able to be addressed, or is that unrealistic?
Commissioner, I think there is some information we can provide you on the question of what would a regional program cost in the next few days. We're not going to have $10 million more by the end of June or the end of July. I think one of the threshold questions that I think you're wrestling with is the nature of these requests, which are pilot projects. And pilot projects, by their nature, occur in certain places, not everywhere. We did a pilot for AC Transit several years ago, and at that time we gave them regional money. We didn't put any regional money in San Francisco or Santa Clara at the time, only there.
But you're the judges of equity, not the staff. But if we are going to entertain pilots on the way to some sort of regional approach, then I think we have to accept the fact that they won't be in every single transit district. And they'll also be more affordable. The information that I've seen, at least preliminarily, about the cost of a regional program, it's a lot more than $5 million. Again, it's your choice about when you want to receive a report, but I don't want anyone to labor under a misimpression that we can have a lot more money for you to consider in July as opposed to June.
Okay. Well, Chair, I'm trying to move this along. I think I would like to refer this issue back to this committee to have it before us at our next meeting of this committee. So I'll move that.
Okay, there is a motion to bring this back to committee at our July meeting. There's a second. Okay, that dies.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a second. There's a second by Wiener. All those in favor?
Mr. Chair, if I may, just through the chair, just ask Commissioner Bates. I'm wondering if you can say a little bit more about what your expectation is between now and the time that it comes back. I mean, I'm happy. I think all of us are happy to have more discussions about this, but sort of what does that mean in terms of the San Francisco pilot? What does that mean in terms of the VTA pilot?
Well, I hope we'll go to the broader questions, the bigger questions that have been raised around the issues of, you know, I heard the director say, you know, about the equity issues, I think are still there. I think the sustainability issues are there. I think we just need to have some idea of a broader picture of what we're really going down this road. What's it going to mean at the end? I mean, that's my concern. So I would like to have a much broader discussion.
Commissioner Haggerty.
Okay, you can hear me. If this does come back and it does return to change jurisdiction here in the committee, the executive director just referred to a program that was tried with AC Transit. And I would like to see the outcomes of that because, as I understood the program, it was a low-income bus pass program also that became quite charged politically and also was deemed not sustainable, and we had to end the funding. And I find us walking through that same path again. So I think if we're going to have discussions, if we're going to continue to refer back to the AC Transit and that we did a pilot there, I think we should know the outcomes of it, and I think we should have our memories refreshed.
Okay, any other? Hey, can you do a roll call vote on this? The motion that is before us is to bring this back to committee.
Commissioner Federal Glover?
No.
Commissioner David Campos?
Aye.
Commissioner Tom Bates?
No.
Commissioner Dave Cortese?
Aye.
Commissioner Bill Dodd?
Yes.
Commissioner Scott Wiener?
Yes.
4 yeses, 2 noes.
Okay. So this will come back before the commission at its next month's meeting. We'll now move to the next item on the agenda today, which is a proposed third cycle lifeline transportation program project. This is MTC resolution 3880 revised and 3925 revised and 4053 revised. Kirsten.
Yes. Hi, I'm Kristen Major from the Programming and Allocation section. I'm here today to present the proposed Lifeline Transportation Program third cycle program of projects.
Excuse me, Kirsten.
Yeah.
Could we have those that are leaving go ahead and clear the room and that we would be respectful to our presenter with your noise?
Thank you. In December, I should mention MTC's Lifeline Transportation Program funds projects that improve mobility for the region's low-income communities. The program is administered at the local level by the County Congestion Management Agencies. In December, MTC adopted the program guidelines for the third cycle of the Lifeline Transportation Program. The target programming amount for this cycle is $87 million from multiple fund sources, including Proposition 1B transit funds, state transit assistance or SDA funds, job access and reverse commute or JARC funds, and surface transportation program or STP funds. Last month, the Commission approved $27 million for Lifeline projects, including most of the Proposition 1B projects. At that time, SFMTA and VTA's Proposition 1B requests were deferred until June so that those funds could be considered along with the requests for youth and low-income transit fare programs. This month, staff is proposing to program approximately $55 million in Lifeline Cycle 3 funds, including most of the STA, JARC, and STP funds, and as well as the Proposition 1B funds for the SFMTA and VTA projects, which were deferred from last month. The STA, JARC, and STP funds were selected at the county level by the CMAs. Following MTC's release of the program guidelines in December, the CMAs issued calls for projects. And using scoring criteria from the guidelines, each county evaluated the applications that they received and obtained board approval for their projects. The CMAs then forwarded their programs or projects to MTC. We received 61 recommended projects, totaling $35.5 million. Most of these projects are recommended for funding this month, with a few exceptions, which I will discuss a little bit later. The program of projects includes a mix of transit capital and operating projects, as well as some planning projects, and a number of shuttle or specialized transportation services that benefit low-income residents in the region. The projects are listed in Attachment A, and the memo in your packet has a chart that summarizes the types of projects that are proposed to receive funding today. In the PAC memo, we've highlighted a few issues for you to be aware of. First, San Francisco has been reserving approximately $3.7 million in Lifeline funds pending the results of the low-income pass discussion. SFCTA will need to finalize its programming for this remaining balance. Second, Alameda and Contra Costa counties are proposing to fund a late-night BART Express bus service between San Francisco and Fremont and between San Francisco and Pittsburgh Bay Point. Staff has some questions about this project and recommends deferring approval of the approximately $500,000 for the project while we work with Alameda and Contra Costa counties, as well as BART staff, to obtain additional information on that service. We intend to return in July with the results of our review. Third, Contra Costa County awarded funds to the City of Richmond for an EasyGo project. We initially had some concerns that some elements of that project were not eligible for JARC and STP funding, but we recently spoke with staff, and it looks like we're going to be able to resolve those issues and come back to you in July to program funds to that project. And then fourth, staff is proposing that the applicable wayfinding and real-time transit information projects be subject to additional conditions, including compliance with MTC's regional connectivity requirements and with regional signage design standards. And then finally, as for fund availability, we just want to note that the JARC and STA amounts are still estimates and may end up being slightly higher or lower than we estimated. If there's a change in the amounts, we will return to you with a revised program. With that, I can answer questions, or I would ask that the committee refer resolution numbers 4053 revised, 3880 revised, and 3925 revised to the commission for approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Commissioner Green.
What specifically do you need to talk to people about from the San Francisco to Fremont service? I mean, what are your specific problems there?
Well, it's similar to a service that was operated by AC Transit, County Connection, and LAVTA between 2006 and 2009 using Regional Measure 2 operating funds. And those services were ultimately terminated because they didn't meet the RM2 farebox recovery requirements. So in addition, we're going to talk to them about how they're proposing to achieve better ridership with this revised service. We also want to ask them some questions about how the service will address communities of concern and talk to them about how their service will be structured to avoid duplication with AC Transit services that operate in the late night.
Okay, any other questions? because of looking at the room, I have a lack of a quorum for a vote, so I'm going to go. Dewey?
Commissioner Wirth can serve for that purpose.
Okay.
And thank goodness she's here.
So at this time, I would entertain a motion for approval. Mm-hmm. So motion by Bates, second by Wirth. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Move to our next item, which is under the state's program again. Allocation for 2012-13 Transportation Development Act, TDA funds and state transit assistant funds, Assembly Bill 1107 funds and regional Measure 2 operating funds and capital funds to various claimants in the region, MTC Resolution 4059, 4061, 4062, 4063. Cheryl will be presenting.
Thank you, Commissioner Glover. My name is Cheryl Chi, and you did a great job of summarizing my presentation for me. So these resolutions would allocate $185.5 million in these various funds to the claimants shown in the memo. They include AC Transit, County Connection, Wheels, which is LAVTA, Vine, which is operated by NAPA, Petaluma, Westcat, WETA, and MTC. And AC Transit received some federal funds for operating rather than capital for the last few years, and an update on their progress in meeting the conditions that we attach to that funding transfer is included in the memo. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. If not, I request that you refer resolutions 4059, 4061, 4062, and 4063 to the commission for approval.
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We'll now move to our federal programs. And this is authorized the release of public review of the draft 2013 Transportation Improvement Program. Sarah?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Shisha Navasan. I work in the Programming and Allocation section. I'm here to request that you authorize the release of the draft 2013 Transportation Improvement Program and accompanying air quality conformity analysis for public review and to set a public hearing date of July 11th. The review period will extend from June 22nd through August 2nd. As background, the TIP Transportation Improvement Program is a comprehensive list of surface transportation projects that receive federal funds or are subject to a federally required action or are regionally significant for air quality conformity purposes. The draft 2013 TIP has approximately 903 projects totaling $11.1 billion in committed federal, state, regional, and local funding over the four-year TIP period that goes through fiscal year 2016. This concludes my presentation, and I will be happy to answer any questions you may have. And I request you to go ahead and authorize the release of the draft 2013 TIP and air quality conformity and set the public hearing date of July 11th. Thank you.
Question of staff. Okay, seeing none, your motion. Motion by Wirth.
Second
by Dodd. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. We'll now move to our next item, which is priority development area. And this will be presented by Therese.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Therese Trevetti, MTC Planning. I'm here today to request referral of Resolution 3925 to the Commission for approval. This action would award 10 priority development area planning grants in the amount of $3.7 million. Just a reminder of the program definition. You may remember it as the Station Area Planning and Land Use Planning Program, but given the direction of the Plan Bay Area and the One Bay Area Grant Program with emphasis on Priority Development Areas, or PDAs, we changed the name of the program for this cycle. This planning program offers local jurisdictions with PDAs or station areas along the region's transit expansion corridors an opportunity to plan around in these areas. The plans are intended to support increased transit ridership at the stations or along the corridors. They're comprehensive plans in that they require a number of elements, including an evaluation of housing and commercial development, including affordable housing, parking, multimodal access and circulation and infrastructure, all with an eye towards implementation. Most of these plans are specific plans with a programmatic EIR, and we expect that cities will follow up with amendments to their general plans or zoning code in an effort to implement the plans. We did issue a call for projects in January of this year for $4 million, and when the projects were due in April, we received 16 applications totaling $6.4 million. We had a 12-member evaluation panel that included staff from several cities, congestion management agencies, transit operators, our nonprofit partners, as well as our regional agency partners. They evaluated the applications based on the criteria outlined in your packet. And attachment A contains the list of projects recommended for funding by the panel. There's two things I'd like to note. First, staff is not recommending an award to the City of Hercules due to concerns about project delivery related to the city's fiscal circumstances. Since it's a smaller project, the evaluation panel did recommend that this might be an appropriate project for our Smart Growth Technical Assistance Program, and I'll be following up with City of Hercules staff to move in that direction. Second, there is a small balance that we recommend carrying over to the next cycle. It's not enough to fund the next projects on the list, and we do anticipate another cycle before the end of the year within 6 months. So with that concludes my remarks, and I'm happy to hear your comments and do my best to answer any questions.
Commissioner Bates.
Yes, excuse me. Would you talk about the next cycle, how much money is going to be available, and what are the similar to this program?
It will be similar. The next cycle will be from the One Bay Area Grant Program, so we do have an opportunity to review the program, but essentially it's intended to be about the same. I'm anticipating it's going to be about a $5 million call for projects at that point.
And those will be administered by us, right?
That's correct.
The grant will be awarded by – okay, thank you.
Commissioner Wirth.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Glover. First of all, I just want to really thank staff for your hard work on this recommendation and this program. You know, I think with the loss of redevelopment funds to cities and the desire of cities to continue the momentum in terms of these kinds of planning efforts, that these dollars are particularly important right now. And so I appreciate the recommendation of staff in being able to provide these funds so that cities, particularly the ones some of these projects I'm particularly familiar with in Contra Costa, there's a real opportunity right now to keep the momentum moving forward, and this reflects the priorities of local communities in terms of doing this work. I also wanted to thank you for your continued efforts with Hercules. We're all aware of the financial, crisis that they've been dealing with. At the same time, the efforts of the leadership at Hercules, both from the council as well as staff, to continue to move forward, to address the issues. And just by note, last month, the Contra Costa Transportation Authority made some funding recommendations that were the result of that same kind of collaborative relationship you're describing here. And I really appreciate MTC continuing to work with Hercules to try to find funding for the initiatives. Again, this is going to be a very important transit hub and center for our county and a region, recognizing that the Capital Corridor, the transit opportunities for that community are really important. So thank you I just wanted to thank staff for your continued work with Hercules in trying to move these projects forward. So thank you. So with that, I'm happy to recommend a motion to approve it.
There's a motion and there's a second on the question. I do have speaker.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Commissioner Green.
Just quickly, I was wondering if the amount recommended for funding with basically the entire amount that was basically available, or if you had to get above 75 before you were considered on the scoring system, or some combination of both.
To answer the first question, no, it's not the full funding. There's a $336,000 balance, but the next project on the list was $750,000, which is not enough to fund it, obviously, and so we're recommending that we carry that over to the next cycle. There was not a minimum cutoff, however.
Okay, it is possible that Rio Vista, since that's only $200,000, I realize they only scored a 60, but there is enough money that could have funded Rio Vista's project. You said $336,000, right?
Correct. Okay. We didn't go all the way. Right. We didn't look all the way
so
down.
So in a sense, there was a threshold that 60. Wow. I'm just wondering if, you know, 60 is like a D minus in even the most liberal scoring systems these days.
Okay, we do have two speakers from the city of Alameda, Jennifer. She'll be followed by Rachel of San Francisco CTA.
Good morning, commission members. My name is Jennifer Ott, Chief Operating Officer for Alameda Point, the city of Alameda. And I just wanted to say we are grateful for staff's recommendation to provide $200,000 in funding for a waterfront town center plan for about 125 acres within the former Naval Air Station Alameda, which is a large, about 918-acre priority development area. Our plan will allow the city to create a detailed zoning and implementation plan for the mixed-use and transit-oriented development core of the future development of Alameda Point. We support staff's recommendation and our thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Rachel Hyatt with the San Francisco County Transportation Authority on behalf of our agency as well as our partners in San Francisco MTA and San Francisco Planning Department. We appreciate your consideration of our two proposals, one for the Central Corridor EIR, the other for Treasure Island Transportation Planning. These areas together, we are planning for over 20,000 new housing units and more than double that number of jobs. And these funds will support comprehensive transportation and land use planning in these areas where we are hoping to accommodate a significant part of the region's growth. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, there are no other speakers on this item. Is there a motion to move this forward?
So moved.
Moved by Wirth, second by Bates. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I'm sorry, Commissioner Haggerty, did you have?
At some point, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to get some sort of understanding of how we approach the scoring on these, and more importantly, who does the scoring. My understanding is it's very little involvement by MTC staff, so I would like to get a little bit more understanding as to who's sitting on the scoring panels. And maybe my understanding is wrong, but I just need to know.
Okay. Is that something that staff could bring back to the commission meeting? Or have that as part of the...
I could just answer it directly. There, MTC staff is one of the 12 members of the panel, so there's one voice on the panel.
So that's not really the answer to my question, because I actually thought there was two, so now I found out there's one less than I had originally thought. But I'd like to know who the rest of them are, where they
sure.
come from.
Absolutely. I can follow up at the next meeting.
Okay. No problem, sir. All right. Thank you. Our next item is California Transportation Commission update.
Thank you. Kenneth Cao with programming staff. Seeing that I am standing between you and lunch, I'll make this brief. I'll refer you to the item in your packet. I would like to highlight one project that is in the Proposition 1B Trade Corridors Improvement Fund program. The Port of Oakland has an Outer Harbor Intermodal Terminal project, which is currently being, in discussions to finalize a baseline agreement amendment with the California Transportation Commission. CTC has raised a few questions about project scope and funding, and we are working with CTC staff in the Port of Oakland to finalize that. If there are any developments on that, MTC staff will be bringing something to the committee in July if necessary. That concludes my remarks, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for the information. Did you have any comments?
I was wondering about the high-speed rail, and can we, you know, this is going to be decided as fate in the next few days, actually until Friday. Maybe you could just give us some sort of heads up after Friday.
Certainly.
Commissioner, why don't I try that one? Because I think the good news that we have at the CTC is we're finally over the hump with them on the question of the projects that we put together. You'll recall the memorandum of understanding we approved for the investments along the San Francisco Peninsula. I think the broader question is, what's the legislature going to do with the money? And I don't doubt that our little subject is going to get caught up in the big discussion about what they're going to do in terms of the decision on investing in the first segment in the Central Valley. The indications they're giving everybody are that they'd like to postpone that from the budget process now until August, when the budget's over, presumably. Whether that is what ends up being the case, because, as you know, the governor feels very strongly that they ought to move forward now. They've been getting a lot of lobbying, I would call it, from USDOT, urging them to go forward now. So my guess is that we're a part of that whole piece, but it's still very good news that I think we finally have an alignment at the authority and the commission on the set of investments that we want to move ahead on. And remember, here in the region, that also includes a significant amount of funding for the BART car replacement program. So it's a good thing all around.
So, Steve, following up, so if the bonds have not been let, is that the issue?
That's correct.
That's the issue. So if they don't let those bonds, we don't have any money for any of those projects, right?
Correct.
So, and there's chances of them issuing a bond from just this small amount is unlikely.
They could, but again, my guess is they're going to want some closure on the big issue before they move forward money.
It'd really be a shame if we lost that money. I think that even if we don't go forward with the whole, you know, high-speed rail, the electrification project is a phenomenally great project. I'd be really disappointed.
Look, I don't want to start speculating on worst cases here, but if we did come to the eventuality that there's some kind of impasse on the big project, I think, as you say, making those investments in the existing rail systems, it's a good idea whether we build high-speed rail or not. But I think the opponents would say that money's only there because of high-speed rail, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay. All right. We'll now move to our next item, which is our final one, and that's public comments. We have one speaker, Jerry Grace.
Very quickly, I'm going to point out is, I know I may have said it again, I'll repeat myself again, next one. But very soon I'm moving, and over your own town at West CC County over in City, Sao Paulo. I think you, Amy, in the chair, the president, I hope you know what I'm talking about. The West CC County, City, Sao Paulo. I want to say goodbye, Alameda. But I will be back somehow to meet the people of the town, and I will be at the fairgrounds soon at Kinazabar, and there'll be a lot of other fairs, but I'm going to be busy to get crazy more and more. That's my news. I'm going to be back again. Talk more about it next time.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. If there are no other comments, this meeting stands adjourned.